Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. It is a gorgeous day. Good Lord, is it beautiful. My gosh, it's 80 degrees. Sun is shining. I don't know about you. I would have called out sick if I had some way to call out sick. But hey, we're here. We've got a lot that we are going to cover this afternoon. Governor Glenn Youngkin is going to be with us in a couple of moments. Got a dear friend of mine, Michael Harrison, who is in no small part responsible for talk radio as we know it. Simple as that. For 30 plus years, Michael has been one of the guys really behind the scenes helping talk radio to achieve the status that it has. He's going to be with us at 3:33. My buddy Dr. Keith Ablo, who just spent some time over on Tucker Carlson's show on X, he's going to be with us. And I'm pretty sure that this meeting that I was in earlier today is still going on. It started at 10:30 this morning. I had a moment. I think it was 10:46. I'm going to look at my notes. 10:46 a.m. You know when you have one of those moments and you go, oh my gosh, yeah, this is when I decided to blank. We had one of those moments. I'm going to share that with you in just a couple of seconds. We know that the Virginia Democrats, through their control, very, very slight control, I should also mention for the record, of the House of Delegates and the State Senate, have advanced such insane ideas and are doing everything possible to keep Governor Glenn Youngkin from getting a realistic budget in place. I'm so happy to say Governor Youngkin is joining us to talk a little bit about that. Governor, good afternoon.
Hey, Jeff, how are you? Thank you for having me. And you know what? I'm just getting ready to head into a town hall listening session on the budget, where I'll explain to everybody that, yeah, the General Assembly sent me a backwards budget, yeah. A budget that, in fact, raises taxes by $2.6 billion when we've just spent 2 years working on a bipartisan basis to provide $5 billion of tax relief. And then they turn around in 60 days, not 2 years, not 1 year, but in 60 days, and send me a budget that wants to reverse everything and raise taxes on Virginians right at a time where we see inflation once again rearing its ugly head, and Virginians are living paycheck to paycheck. We're not going to go backwards. We're only going to go forward, and we're not going to let that happen.
I have to ask you, Governor, the success of the past budget where those of us who are just regular working Virginians got to keep some of our own money, got to do with it what we wanted to do. How is it possible in such a short time that these Virginia Democrats now have gone, well, so totally overboard? What is it that they're thinking?
Well, Jeff, it reflects a different vision for Virginia. I mean, there's two visions. Listen, it's the vision that I was hired to execute against, the vision of allowing people to keep more of their hard-earned money and making sure we bring cost of living down. And yes, investing in education and law enforcement and behavioral health and delivering a vibrant, rip-roaring economy. And that's exactly what we did. I mean, we have 200,000 more people working today than we had just 2 years ago. And we've seen it all over. It's all parts of Virginia. Their vision for Virginia, bluntly, is one where they tax everything that we do. They increase taxes in order to have pet spending projects, and that is the different view. I mean, bluntly, they want to have a pot shop on every corner, a slot machine in every convenience store, and they want to tax everything that everybody does. Those are just two very different visions for the Commonwealth of Virginia. Listen, my vision, which is the one I was hired to execute on, is about unleashing opportunity and prosperity and letting Virginians make decisions in their lives and pursue their God-given aspirations to be the best they can be. And that's why Virginia has been the best place to live, work, and raise a family. And I'm going to work to make sure it stays that way.
Number one, Governor Glenn Youngkin is joining us in case anybody didn't recognize his voice. Getting ready to head into the Eggs Up Grill down in Midlothian. You picked a great place, by the way. There's some great options down there. But let's talk about that pot shop and the slot machine, man. I'm sorry, Governor. I mean, I looked at that and I said, good Lord, I don't want my kids passing every convenience store where there's slot machines in there and on every street corner. Literally, there's a pot shop. This is such a different vision, man. This is dystopian.
Yeah, and how about this? Let's create jobs, and then let's have great education, and let's have safe communities where families can raise their children, trust their schools are going to prepare them in a collaborative way where parents are first, and then they have great jobs. And, you know, here we have the very best economic development opportunity that has ever been in Virginia's history to bring two professional sports teams to Northern Virginia, creates $12 billion of economic contribution, creates 30,000 jobs, no upfront taxpayer money, no new taxes, and we win when the sports district wins, and it creates so much excess cash flow that we can directly fund teacher pay in parts of Virginia that need support, transportation projects like fixing I-81, and on top of that, yes, providing toll relief down in Virginia Beach. Well, without the monumental opportunity, none of that stuff happens. And instead, they project a Virginia that doesn't want jobs. Well, listen, we're creating jobs, 200,000 more today than we had just 2 years ago, and I am not taking my foot off the accelerator.
Governor Glenn Youngkin joining us for a couple of moments. This budget process is just, it seems insane to me, Governor, because, again, you have the Virginia Democrats with very, very small majorities in the state Senate and the House of Delegates. You look at the committee composition, you would think that they had this massive lead, but it's such a tiny one, and these are such great common sense ideas. I know they're trying to minimize the sports thing. They're referring to it as Glenn Dome. Well, I got news for you. If I'm you, I'll take Glenn Dome because I just think it's such a great opportunity to bring billions of dollars into the Commonwealth and create, as you point out, thousands and thousands of jobs. Now, look, you're an honorable man. You're a tough man. But how do we get this done?
Well, first and foremost, the Senate has to engage.
Yep.
See, the House of Delegates fully engaged. They hired outside advisors, brought them in, did the work and verified this is spectacular. And that's why bills progressed in the House. The Senate refused to even engage. And that's so fundamentally inconsistent with the role of elected officials to even review. They didn't even want to review the largest economic development opportunity in the history of the Commonwealth. And so the Senate first needs to go do their work. And they will indeed come to the same place everybody who engages on this project does, which is, by the way, again, no upfront money, no new taxes. We win as the state when, in fact, the district wins, and it generates so much cash flow that we can fund all kinds of important priorities going forward. This is a unique once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. The Senate must engage in it. And when they do, then we can come through the budget process and reintroduce the bill and do something on a bipartisan basis that lifts up all Virginians.
Governor Youngkin, what can we do? Because there are many of us sitting out here, and every time you've been kind enough to come on this program, we talk about a wide variety of issues. And you know, near and dear to my heart is an ex-cop, your support for law enforcement, the dad of a special needs kiddo, your support for increasing waivers and fixing that whole system. I saw what was in your budget that addressed those things. They were great. Everybody that I spoke with, Republican and Democrat, said, man, this is real success, real advancement from the governor. So what can we as the people in Virginia do to help get this on track?
First of all, everybody should call, write, email, text their delegate and their senator and just say, get the monumental project moving and work with the governor to deliver a reasonable, common sense budget. And then finally, don't raise my taxes, because that's what they want to do. Don't raise my taxes. We don't need to raise taxes. There's plenty of money in the system. You know, unfortunately, what the other side does is they play in this world of either or, always do. Mm-hmm. And what we've demonstrated is that we can, in fact, as I said, provide $5 billion of tax relief and still have record investment in those key priorities that we know we need to fund. And I've been so proud of the work that we have done to not live in an either or world, but to live in an and world. And what happens, of course, when you reduce tax burdens and you streamline regulation and you grow jobs, you have a record number of people working in the Commonwealth of Virginia that then funds tax receipts that allows us to invest in education and law enforcement, behavioral health, and yes, eliminating the priority developmental disability waivers, which we need to eliminate. We can do this, and what it requires, however, is a recognition that growth and jobs are good, and taxes need to come down, and we can deliver both of them.
Governor, just off the top of your head, do you know how many jobs you have created or have been created in the last 2 years that you've been in office?
Yes. Today, there's 200,000 more people working than there were the day we came in. And I have to say, it's a record number. And we have more people working in the Commonwealth of Virginia than ever in the history of our great state. And finally, our labor participation, which is what I pay attention to, which is how many people are off the sidelines and participating in the workforce, is at a 12-year high. All those people that went home during the pandemic have all come back to work because there's great jobs. The key to this, however, is to not allow us to go backwards. And that's what this budget that the General Assembly sent me tries to do, is to take us backwards. We are not going backwards. We are going forwards.
What's the timeline? Can you call them back into session? Does Lieutenant Governor Winsome Sears call them? How does this process just get rolling finally?
Well, there is a reconvened session on the 17th of April. And therefore, I've got to process 1,000 bills of vetoes and amendments and signed bills between here and there. And of course, amend, markup, and veto elements of the budget. And that process is starting now. It's around the clock. I have already reached out to leadership from the General Assembly and started to set up a process where we can collaborate and fix this budget. And I think we can get there. We've done it for the last 2 years on a bipartisan basis. The key is they have to engage, just like I asked on the monumental opportunity, which is spectacularly important for the Commonwealth. The Senate has to do the work. And so I've invited them to, let's engage, let's get this budget right, let's not raise taxes, let's fund the priorities, and we can deliver together for Virginians.
And you are going to stand tough on this nonsensical pot shop legislation where everywhere you go, there'd be one.
Yeah, I've been very clear from the day I was first asked. I have no interest in creating a retail market for marijuana. And I'm just surprised that people haven't gotten the joke yet. A bunch of people come up and ask me, they say, so are you going to sign this bill? And I look at them and I said, you must be smoking something. I'm not going to do that.
Not a chance. Well, listen, there are many of us out here who really do appreciate what you're doing, the things you've prioritized, again, with law enforcement, helping folks in the special needs arena. That waiver situation is just atrocious. I'm on the community services board here in Hanover, Governor, and we see people who, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's the truth. They will die before they get one of these waivers. So that is something that I know you have put right near the top of the list. Very, very encouraging. And again, doing all of that, not only without raising taxes, but actually cutting taxes. I mean, it's an amazing accomplishment. And, I'm pulling for you. I'm going to try and get as many people as possible to reach out to their delegates and senators and just, get them on the straight and narrow.
Jeff, thank you. I mean, this is about delivering for Virginians. And we know we can do it. I have to say, on our priority waivers, we have Virginians who've been waiting forever. And the reality is that they shouldn't have to wait. And therefore, we're going to go ahead and clean this up. And it's something that could have been done a long time ago. It hasn't been done. I committed myself to getting this done when I was elected. We've taken really big steps the last 2 years. And this budget's going to take the final steps. There's over 3,000 Virginians on the priority one waiver list, and we're going to clean those names out and make sure that they get the support they need.
Well, I appreciate that again, because Julia Katz is one of those, and we're hoping against hope and praying that everything gets set with you. And I know you got to run into Eggs Up Grill. You're hungry. I can feel it. But I just wanted, as somebody who grew up watching Dr. J and the Sixers, thank you for honoring Allen Iverson the other day. That was very cool.
Yeah, really exciting. I grew up in Hampton Roads, and I might be a little older than Allen Iverson, but we had the great privilege of both playing for the same AAU coach, And when he was 10 years old, he was already a legend, already a legend. And so it was exciting to bring everybody together in Newport News and Hampton and really celebrate a legend.
Yeah, it was great. Listen, Governor, I always appreciate you making time. God bless you, the wonderful people in your family and the people working with you. And make no mistake, we're going to do our part to try and help you get this budget over the goal line there. We really are.
The top of the list is that we are not going to allow tax increases to be really thrust upon Virginians. I mean, come on, let's be clear. We're sitting here watching inflation not go away. President Biden unleashed it. Virginians are living paycheck to paycheck, and the last thing they need is another tax increase. Not only do we not need it, but it is so counter to what we've been doing for the last 2 years, which is giving money back to Virginians. And so we're staying true to the program. It works. It's a vision for Virginia that I think everybody supports, and so we're going to make it happen.
Excellent. Excellent. Stand strong, and know you got some people here that have your back.
All right, thank you. You have a blessed day. Take care.
Thank you, my friend. That is Governor Glenn Youngkin. Look, I love Governor Youngkin. I'm going to just tell you that. I think that what he has done in the past 2 years is to take Virginia from where we were. You just got to remember a couple of years back where our beloved Commonwealth was. It was overrun with insane ideas, outrageous taxes, and what Governor Youngkin has said, hey, people work hard. They deserve to keep their money. And that's what he did with the past budget. You and I got tax cuts. You and I got money. Frankly, we think, oh, we got money back. Well, it was ours in the first place. And the Virginia Democrats, because they have this tiny majority in the House of Delegates and the State Senate, have gone totally into left field. And I mean far left field. Governor Youngkin's budget, as you heard, talks about money that you earned and I earned staying in our pockets where it belongs, taking care of important issues, taking care of teachers, taking care of law enforcement professionals, taking care of special needs members of our community. I'm hoping that you don't have to deal with that, because I'm telling you, as one who does, the bureaucracy is appalling. The lack of concern from some, not all, believe me, but from some would just blow your mind. And then you have some of us who serve in capacity, such as the Community Services Board, where we see what's really happening. So if you have any sense of where we could go, I would urge you, pay close attention to this. Reach out to your delegate. Reach out to your senator. And you heard what the governor said. This is not some sort of a cram down. Not at all. What did the governor say? He worked with the House of Delegates. The House of Delegates analyzed things, presented things. It was the Virginia State Senate which said, we're not going to cooperate in any way on any level. Now, what does that do? It leaves us without a budget. It leaves us without the opportunity to create thousands and thousands of jobs and billions of dollars in investment and future tax payments with the stadium project up in Northern Virginia. Now, you may look at it and go, well, I don't care about that team or that team. That's fine. It's not here in Central Virginia, but that's okay. We're talking about right up the road. Now, you remember when Governor Wilder was in office, he had some plans to have stuff done in Northern Virginia. Well, this is an opportunity. It is an opportunity, in my opinion, my humble opinion. It comes along once. I don't think you or I will see an opportunity like this presented again. And to pass on it, to sort of stamp their feet in the state senate and not let anything go forward, it's just childish and it's irresponsible. And whether you are a Democrat or a Republican serving in that state senate, you swore an oath to serve the people of Virginia. You have to roll up your sleeves and get to work. You got to do what it takes to get this job done. And I get it. There's always some sort of give and take and push and pull. I understand that. But this is just too big to play a lot of games with. That's all I got to tell you. It is way too big to play games with. Thanks again to Governor Glenn Youngkin for reaching out to us. He's coming literally out of his car, walking into Eggs Up Grill down there in Midlothian. If you're down that way and you're hungry and you'd like to say hello to the governor and let him know what you're thinking about this, by all means, you ought to drop in. It is 321 Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. Jeff Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Thanks again to Governor Glenn Youngkin for ringing us up a couple of moments ago. He was walking into an event, but he wanted to reach out. And you heard, I hope, what he had to say, talking about how this budget has been held up. It's just crazy. It's really, really just nuts. And the priority for some of the folks is so far out of the realm of reality. Well, if you didn't hear, please head on over to newsradiowrva.com. You'll be able to listen to it.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Over there for sure. Old buddy Dr. Keith Apple is going to join us a little bit later in the program. You know, he's just on with Tucker Carlson, and that was a fascinating sit down. Really, really a great conversation. And I have spoken so many times about a longtime friend, a dear friend, who will deny it, but I will say it, is in large part responsible for the success of talk radio as we know it, and the stature of talk radio as we know it, and that is Michael Harrison, who is the publisher of Talkers Magazine, and he's joining us today. Michael, thank you for being here.
And Jeff, thank you for having me, and one can see just the action happening on your show today, why talk radio remains the greatest bellwether of American public opinion in the media today.
We do have our finger on a pulse or two, don't we?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. It's very exciting to me, and I'm sure the listeners all across your region appreciate you. I can say on behalf of the industry, Jeff is known and respected everywhere in America in this business. Thanks for having me on again, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Very kind. I appreciate you being here. Now, let us talk about a couple of things, and it's really interesting to me how this conversation is going to develop, because I know what we have to discuss. The first part, you and some friends of yours have a band. We've shared the music so many times. Remind everybody about Gun Hill Road and who you all are, and then let's talk about your latest piece of work, because it just begs to be discussed.
Well, Gun Hill Road is a timeless band that's been around since the late 60s. They had a number of albums that were played on album rock radio in the early 70s. That's when I became familiar with them. I used to play them as one of my favorite bands in the New York area at that time on WNEW-FM, which was the station I hosted a show on in the morning. It's a legendary rock station. Yep. Gun Hill Road went on to have one hit single in the early 70s, back when my hair was short. People may remember that. And then they faded into the background, went their own ways. And 15 years ago, they got back together formed a new act, modernized, updated. They're excellent musicians. Called the album was called Every 40 Years, ironically. And since then, I've been a member of the band as a songwriter and a singer and an advisor. And we've been making records that are playable on talk radio as opposed to music radio. Because nothing exciting is happening on music radio on this level, but talk radio is where the action is. And for the last few years, we've been having song after song, video after video on issues of importance with an ironic twist to them, and being played and talked about on talk radio. And there you go. That's Gun Hill Road.
Well, I'll tell you what, Michael, we love it. And we, of course, have played all of the stuff that that you've released on this program, and it prompts such wonderful conversation. Your latest piece is about, well, I guess fundamentally we would say like scams and cons, but it just grows from there. Give everybody a little taste of that. What is it that you're really addressing?
Oh, the disintegration of ethics in our society, enhanced perhaps by the technology. Social media, digital technology, instantaneous communication, everybody out there with a megaphone, people yelling and screaming and nobody listening. You know, everybody's in the ratings business. Like That's me right. on Facebook, follow me, you know, subscribe to me. As a result, we are falling victim to terrible, terrible con men and con women, I'll be politically correct, con persons who are proliferating at a number like we've never seen before. and you don't know who to trust. You don't know if you can trust your bank. You don't know if you can trust your insurance company. You don't know if you can trust the email that you get, the texts that you receive, the phone calls that you get. Right. It gets worse and worse. They can rob you of your savings. They could rob you of your identity. They can get you in trouble. They can give you misinformation. They could have you contribute to campaigns that are not kosher, that mm-hmm. are not even the candidate that you... I mean, it's endless. The corruption is endless. So basically, many of the venues of our society have become sewers. They're sewers. And we have a serious problem with scammers and fraud in our society that is equal, in my opinion, to war, to pandemics, to immigration problems, to all of the different things that we consider to be, you know, pressing problems. And the scam thing, we sort of like live with it because I guess it's a byproduct of all the conveniences we have having digital technology, and that's not healthy.
Well, you know, Michael, you talk about the con men, the con women, the con people, however we want to describe them, so that we're all checking whatever box we have to check, right? We've all got boxes that we have to check.
And I say that sarcastically. I say that with a degree of sarcasm, but yeah, go ahead.
But now remember what the origin of the con is. Con meant confidence. And these were people who were so good at what they were saying to you. You believed them because perhaps they believed them. And then you said, well, yeah, I want to own a half a mile of the Brooklyn Bridge. Absolutely. I'm in. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now with technology, as you point out, it's not even a face-to-face necessarily. You don't have the opportunity to look at somebody, look in the eyes and go, you know, there's just not something right here. I'm gonna take a walk on this. And it is the rise of technology and perhaps even our ease and the comfort level, as you mentioned, we're so comfortable transacting things online and virtually that, well, this just kind of falls along, doesn't it?
Yes. And with it, we're losing our privacy. And all these things, they overlap. I mean, the loss of privacy is one topic. Con men are another topic. Some of the other effects of social media on our psychology and our wiring, another topic. But they all fold over together. And we are losing our privacy. Mm-hmm. And the loss of privacy, and I've been a First Amendment guy. You know, I don't get too involved in partisanship left or right, one side or the other. But I'm very big on the process of the marketplace of ideas, talk radio, talk shows, free speech, First Amendment, that's my thing. Yep. I'm starting to think that the loss of privacy is as big a threat to democracy and freedom as the First Amendment. Wow. If you think about it, if you don't have privacy, if everywhere you go, I mean, Orwell called it Big Brother back in the book 1984, which he wrote in 1948.
Yes.
We're talking about a long time ago.
Yep.
If we're always under surveillance in terms of when we're walking down the hall in our building or we're in the elevator or you're on a street in a city, wherever you go, a restaurant, a store, an office, a hotel, the lobby of your building.
Yep.
If you're always under surveillance, that means that's Big Brother watching you. You're being watched. And if all of your communications become binding documents that can be used in court against you,
mm-hmm.
every time you're communicating with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, your boss, your friends, your family, your kids, think about the implications of that.
Now, I have to ask you, Michael, and let me remind everybody, Michael Harrison is joining me. Michael is, he is a dear friend. He is a longtime friend. He is the publisher and has been forever of Talkers, which is the Bible of talk radio. But he's also one of the great thinkers that I've been able to chat with through the years, and it is such an absolute delight. Let me give you a difference in perception, Michael. If you are in England today, of course, you are watched quite literally everywhere, with the exception perhaps of once you enter into your own home. Here in the United States, we still kind of look and go, oh, look, there's a camera. Heidi, my lovely bride, a couple of weeks ago, went driving up near D.C., and she went through some small town. She was meeting an old college pal.
Well, we got a letter in the mail with a picture of our car that said you were doing, I think it was like 41 in a 35 mile an hour zone. There it is. It's on camera. If you want to contest it, here's this really, really, really long form that you can fill out. And then you have to be here in some town you've never heard of. Or behind door number two was the option to send them a check for $40. And it doesn't go on your record. It doesn't impact your insurance. And it just reminded me of like the mob saying, hey, sure is a nice building here. Be shame if something happened to it. Now, when Heidi and I shared this with one of our friends in England, because we were livid that there was a speed camera. We didn't know. She didn't know where it was. She didn't know what had happened. I mean, we were just absolutely beside ourselves. We shared it with a friend of ours who lives in Chelmsford, England. And he was like, yeah, I mean, for him, it's just another part of the day. They have already accepted the fact
that it's normalized. Yeah.
Yes.
It becomes normalized. It's the old lobster in the boiling water story. You know, you don't realize you've lost your freedom. You don't realize you're living in a dystopian yes. authoritarian culture until it happens. And then you're so used to it, you accept it. And you accept it for security. You know, people mm-hmm. go, well, look, the police are on top of everything because of the technology. Right. And why is it that the good citizens like you and me and the people listening to this broadcast are under the eye of Big Brother mm-hmm. and the con men are getting away with murder like they never have before? What's wrong with this picture?
Yep. Well, do you think that everybody at this point knows, hey, there really is not a prince in Nigeria? No, that's crazy. And no, you're not going to get $1 billion. But when you get an email that is from your cable provider and says, hey, by the way, you need to update your information. Well, gosh, sure. I update my information all the time. Cards run out. And so they latch onto that. You think there's just too much of that for law enforcement to tackle?
There's too much of it for law enforcement to tackle, but the bigger problem is there's no legislative law mm-hmm. for them to enforce.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when you were a kid, what a crime it would be if you tampered with the United States mail? Well, there was a time when mail was on the, you know, Wells Fargo and the Pony Express, and
that's right.
It was, you know, they were, and it was very hard to enforce that as well.
Yep,
very big country, not a lot of marshals out there, yep. But they. They made the penalties and they made the level of the crime so high. If you're tampering with people's mail, with yep. their communications, with stuff that they send, with valuable goods and services, yeah. this was a federal crime.
Yeah.
And we have not reached the point now where the legislators in our legislatures understand the internet and the technology enough. It's advancing so quickly, and some of them are so old yep. that they don't even know where to begin. And that's the problem. Technology has always outpaced legislation. Yep. When they built cars, they had to put in traffic lights. There never was a traffic light until there was a car, you know. And what side of the street are you supposed to drive on?
That's
cars
right.
were you know, when the cars first came, people were dying every day of getting run over.
Yep.
So we have a problem in creating legislation that is really severe and weed these bastards out, if you'll pardon my French,
yeah.
and give the law enforcement something to work with so that they can enforce the law and create prosecutions.
What about the generational divide, Michael? You and I are of an age where we do remember the blue mailbox, and man, you better not mess around with that. And you and I remember the episode of WKRP where Dr. Johnny Fever was convinced the telephone police were coming for him. Man, he had to get away from the phone cops because he had broken the phone. Well, my kids now have done everything their entire life in some sort of a virtual setting online, and I hate to say it because I'm hoping I raised good guys, but man, they are so accepting of things that just make my blood boil, and they get a lot of their social knowledge, if you will, from places like TikTok. It's 30 seconds, and this is shaping their worldview. Are we just mm-hmm. a couple of older guys screaming at the clouds and telling people to get off our lawn, or we got something to stand on here?
We both. We have a lawn to stand on, and we're yelling at them to get off the lawn. There's a gigantic generational divide. And the mm-hmm. and the young people today who are first having children, look out. Your kids are going to be completely aliens from another planet
yeah.
by the time they're 15 and 20 years old.
Yep.
And no matter how you try to keep up with them, you're going to have a lot of trouble doing it. Our generation has a certain amount of wisdom. The new generation that you described, they've grown up like the guy in the UK. They're getting used to giving up privacy, giving up security, and living a smart, responsible life, knowing the difference between good and evil, because of all the benefits that they get from living on their phones. Mm-hmm. So it isn't that one generation is smarter than the other. They're just very, very different. And the technology is impacting everybody. Now, we can no longer have to say that, well, older people are not online, only young people. Everybody's online nowadays. It's just different levels of prowess with it.
Yep.
But the elderly, let's not put you and I in the category of elderly, although I guess, you know, in some statistics we are. The elderly are among the most vulnerable people in our society to these scams because they are more trusting than some. And loneliness, sometimes they welcome the scammers into their life because they're lonely. And boy, are they easy pickings for the scammers.
They sure are. Well, Michael, I love this song that you've come out with, and we've used it here on the air. But for folks who want to watch the whole thing, right, because there's a nice video that is associated with it, what is the best way for them to do that?
All right, the video is half the value because it shows how ugly these scammers and trolls are.
Yes.
Go to scammersvideo.com.
Okay.
Scammersvideo.com and check it out. We're very proud of it.
All right, so we will get that up. Boy, and what a way to conclude this conversation by saying, well, Michael, I will get it up on all of my social media platforms, and I will invite as many people as possible to click through. But, I mean, hey, it's the content. I guess it's almost like talk radio in many ways. I mean, it's the content that has the value. It's the ability of somebody courageous like such as yourself and the other members of Gun Hill Road to approach it. And then the technology is the platform. It's how you... it's like a plate. You put on it what you want to take a look at, what you want to sample.
These are fascinating times, Jeff, and you and I and the people listening, we're all lucky to be involved either as content makers or content consumers in a fascinating transition in human culture, a turning point in our species. And we are responsible for our future. Don't ever forget that. What the future will be is what we, you, me, and everybody listening to this broadcast, what we make it.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Michael, number one, I always appreciate you making time for us. Number two, this, like the other songs, like the other videos, is absolutely priceless. And three, looking forward to seeing you in a couple of months up in New York.
Same here. Thank you so much, Jeff, and best wishes to everybody in your audience.
Thank you, my friend. That is Michael Harrison. Michael is, simply put, one of the best of the best. And as I've said before, I will say again, the reason that talk radio has grown and has the level of legitimacy that it does is because Michael Harrison gave up his own talk radio career. Right? I mean, you're listening to him. He's got an amazing voice. He's a brilliant guy. He's funny. All that stuff. You go, wow, he'd be a great talk show host. He was a great talk show host. And he said what talk radio needed was an industry, was a real honest to goodness industry, like every other industry. And so for 30 some odd years, he has published Talkers, which is the Bible of talk radio. And he has not been, quote, upfront because he's busy taking care of the entire industry. And you make no mistake, when you look at some of the great people in talk radio today, whether we look back at Rush Limbaugh, we talk about Sean Hannity, we talk about Glenn Beck, and you say, man, a huge reason for them being where they are is because of Michael. God bless him. He's a great guy. We'll play that song a little bit more as well, Jerm. It is 3:50, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. That's what it is. It is Friday Eve, and I'm just feeling great today. I really am. And it's kind of bizarre. Part of it is the weather. Absolutely beautiful weather. It's 80 degrees right now. Sunshine like you wouldn't believe. And I said to Jerm, we got to figure out how we can do this show from the deck. You know, John, where is John going now? I mean, John's always going somewhere, which is great. I mean, that's sort of his thing. I don't necessarily have to go anywhere. I'm totally happy where I am. But But, Jerem, I think we got to figure this out. We'll do it from the deck one day. All right? Maybe we can do that, and we'll yell at the golfers or wave to the golfers or whatever it is. But we've got a lot of stuff that we are dealing with. And I did mention earlier, and I just want to share this, before Governor Youngkin joined us, I said, you know, there are those moments where you just think, aha, right? There are moments that you will always remember. And sometimes they're for the good, sometimes they're for the bad, sometimes you haven't quite figured out what they are, but you just know you're never going to forget them, right? So I've had some really cool stuff happen. I've done some really cool things over the years. I've met some really amazing people. So I can think back and say, okay, I met President Trump this day in this place, and I'm never going to forget that. So I've been to all sorts of wrestling events through the years, because as you know, I did pro wrestling for years, pro wrestling television, nationally, internationally. So there are a lot of these, they're essentially like galaxy cons, but they're primarily featuring the wrestling community. So I can't tell you how many I've been to where I've sat there and, you know, signed autographs and chatted with people and taken photos and a lot of very big personal experiences, a lot of keynote speeches. You know, it was Sarah Palin and Jeff Katz headlining on the Boston Common a number of years ago with 10,000 people. All right, so that's my frame of reference. So this morning, I am in the middle of a meeting. Now, it's a Zoom meeting. And where I am, I'm actually at Hanover High School, because Julia and the Patrick Henry Patriots all-star basketball team, and all-star basketball, I don't know if it's everywhere. Is it Henrico and Chesterfield? I don't know. But here in Hanover, all-star basketball are all the kids who are in special needs classes. And they go out and they play the teams from other schools. So we have four high schools up here in Hanover, and each team plays each other team, and it's just great. I mean, it's one of those things where you think, my gosh, it's just everybody's a winner. Oh, Jerm says it's called the Medford League in Chesterfield. Okay, very cool. Here, up here, we call it all-star basketball. But it's such a beautiful experience. I mean beautiful to the point that if you go to one of these games, you'll never forget it. That's the moment. That is the moment. So we've got, you know, Julia doesn't know that she's part of this basketball thing. She just knows there are a lot of people, and oftentimes there's music, and there's some smiling, a lot of smiling faces, and there are these amazing kids, typically developing kids, who work with her and the members of the team, and it's just such a great experience. Such a great experience. It's all positive. And so we have this system on our company stuff where you say, hey, I'm not available such and such a time. So I had this all blacked out because I had to go to Julia's basketball game, which, make no mistake, is number one. Well, I don't know. It didn't work, or it did work. But I have this meeting. And I also got a takeaway from this, which I just thought, wow, this is one of those moments. I'm sitting there, and I'm taking my attention away from Julia for a moment. I'm just trying to listen to this, and I'm looking at the Zoom, and the Wi-Fi at Hanover High is really sketchy. So, like, the video of me, it doesn't work. So I just have, like, one of those little black screens, but I think it has my name under it. It should have my name. I don't know. And there's all this talk about all this talk. You know, it's a meeting to have a meeting. It was reviewing a meeting, and then we'll have a meeting. And it's like, okay, whatever, whatever, whatever. But then, at 10:46 a.m., as part of this meeting, I, who have signed thousands of autographs, am getting instructions on how to sign autographs. And I thought, oh my God. And the best part is from people who have never signed autographs, to the best of my knowledge. Now, that doesn't make them bad people. Let me be very clear on this. I'm not telling you that I'm angry at anybody or I'm picking on anybody. Just the opposite. I'm just sitting there and I'm thinking, wow, has there ever been a clearer example for life than this? And I thought, yeah, this is it, right? It's just going to be one of those moments I will always remember. I'm sure I will forget the names of the people involved, right? Who was it that said that, you know, 10 years from now, who was it? Remember I had that meeting, we were watching Julia play basketball, and these two people didn't sign autographs, were telling me how to sign autographs. Remember that? I don't know, whoever it was. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is one of those moments. And it's, you know, it's not exactly up there with meeting the president, but I got news for you. It's pretty high. It's just pretty high on the list of things that will always make me say, huh, wow, okay. And I just wanted to share that with you. You know, I share things all the time. Oftentimes people go, yeah, you don't need to share everything. I do. My program throughout the years has been, it's just been so much cheaper than going to therapy, right? I share everything. Heidi, through the years, has been absolutely positively disgusted and appalled at some of the things that I have shared that, well, you know, in this day and age, I probably wouldn't share. But everybody, let me just say this, everybody knew that I liked Wednesdays and Sundays. That's all. That's all I want to say. And Heidi's like, I cannot believe you were telling people. Well, is what it is. I mean, you know all about me, good, bad, or indifferent. So I don't know if I don't know. I don't know if we're going to be graded. You know, it would be great if we were graded on a cursive for the autograph class. You see what I did there? Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? So I just thought I'd share that with you. Now, having said all of that, let us move on to a few more. I know people, Germ, who actually know how to sign their names. I'm one of them. By the way, when you sign as many autographs as I have throughout the years, and it's thousands of them, you come up with a little saying, you come up with a certain way to sign your name. Look, anyway, all I'm going to say, it was truly one of those, you have got to be kidding me moments. One of those, wow, we'll never, ever forget this moment. Now, that's in many ways how I feel about the new Bud Light anthem. Do you remember Dylan? Oh, gosh, what is his last name again? I never Mulvaney? Mulvaney? Germ? Is there a V in there? I don't Dylan. Well, Dylan something, right? Dylan. I think it's Dylan Mulvaney. You know, the guy who dresses as a gal. And Mulvaney, yes, there is a V. Okay, Mulvaney, Dylan Mulvaney. So he's the guy who dresses as a gal, and he's done this whole sort of social media program where he says, look, I've become a girl. And it's like, you really haven't. But okay, you know, as you know, for me, my view of life is I want you to be happy. I really do. I want you to be happy. Now, that doesn't mean I go along with your delusion. I don't aid and abet you if you're committing a crime. I'm not going to pretend that you are this, that, or the other if you are not this, that, or the other. Now, that's simply because I'm an adult. And as an adult, you don't really get to play make-believe all that often. Now, sometimes you do. You might have a party or something. Maybe you're doing, like, charades or I don't know. You could, but maybe you, oh, you know what? Maybe you work in a business where you do. Maybe you're an actor. Maybe you're an actress. I mean, the great skill that most actors and actresses have is that they have the ability to empty their brain of anything that they have created and fill it with words that somebody else has created. And let me tell you, that is a skill. And it's not about being smart or stupid, but that is an unbelievable skill so that you can become another character. That is the height of make-believe, pretending. But I'm not going to believe you, even though you are, quote, in character, right? I know who you really are. I think I'm supposed to go and meet William Shatner, which would be very cool. But I know he's not really, quote, Captain Kirk. I know he's not T.J. Hooker, although I am pretty sure he really is Denny Crane.
Why do you always tell me your name? Is it so you won't forget?
Well, let me tell you something, soldier. I've learned from experience that people can't believe they're actually in the room with Denny Crane. They think it can't be true. So I let them know it is true. I look them in the eye. Denny Crane. Denny. Gives them something to tell their grandkids. Denny Crane.
Denny Crane. That's how I'm going to open when I meet Mr. Crane. Mr. Shatner. But Mr. Mulvaney now has a brand new video out, and I apologize for this, Germ. I subjected Jeremy to all, what is it, like 80 minutes or something? It feels like. I think it only runs about 3 minutes, but man, you listen to the whole thing, it just feels like it's never going to end. And because I want to share it with everybody, because it's going to be the Bud Light hit of 2024, we'll share that in just a moment, Jerem. Have it handy. We'll get to that. We'll talk a little bit about some of the other insanity that is going on right now, including West Point, the United States Military Academy at West Point, New York. I shared this with you yesterday. I'm not sure if you remember, but they are changing their mission statement, and it is just appalling what it is that they are doing. We'll share all of that straight ahead, and Dr. Keith Ablo joining us at 5:33. Two other things, politics and pints. It's sold out, kids. I warned you, most people got their tickets because, again, it's sold out. If you didn't get it for this one, well, I'm pretty sure we'll do another one. That'd be politics and pints number 9, but we will do that at some future date. So I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there for politics and pints on Wednesday the 20th. And you know what? I got a pair of tickets for Rain, a tribute to the Beatles. That's going to be at Chesterfield After Hours. Germ, are you okay? Can you grab a couple of people and make somebody a winner? If it's okay. Well, because it's 4:20-ish. It's almost 4:20, and I think we're covered by the ish clause. So if you would like a pair of tickets for Rain, a tribute to the Beatles, down at Chesterfield After Hours, I'm going to take call. Well, I am. Jeremy is going to take caller number 11 right now, 833-804-1140. 833-804-1140. Caller number 11, you're going to get a pair of those tickets. A great, great show. You will love it. It is 4:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Germ, you know what? I don't think we have the time to be fair to Mr. Mulvaney. So what I'm going to ask you to do, get that ready. We've got some business to transact, of course. We've got to check in with our friends at Fox News. Is that not nice to say that we're now getting our news from Fox News? God, it is so much better than the... Well, I didn't even want to mention the other stuff. I will tell you that the Chronic Care of Richmond text line is always available to you, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. 757 says, hey, wait a minute, Jeff, getting through on that line, it's impossible. No, it's not. It's not. We just had Blair Grossman win. And congratulations to Blair. I knew Blair. We sort of kind of stayed in touch on social media. Great guy, like a world-class chef. I think he still has the place on Mechanicsville Turnpike, right? Great guy. But anyway, congratulations to Blair Grossman for picking up the tickets to Rain, which is down at Chesterfield After Hours. Great tribute to the Beatles. Tomorrow, Friday, we will have tickets for that as well. So make sure that you are staying close for that. All of this will be discussed in moments, I promise. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. 4:33, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. Lots of stuff that you and I are dealing with, not the least of which is that it is just doggone beautiful, about 80 degrees and sunshine, although those trees are in full bloom. It's the something pear tree. They're these beautiful white trees. They kind of stink, too. I always forget what the name is, because when I talk about them, I use some words. It's not the technical name, but boy, that's what I'm allergic to. And it just kills me. Like yesterday, they were branches, and today they're all in full bloom. But you know the one. I don't think so, Germ. But you know the one that I'm talking about. The big white ones, they're all over the place. They are beautiful. They're beautiful. But there you go. It just messes me up anyway with allergies. Now, I got a lot of stuff to talk about. Do you want to start first with Schmuck Schumer? The leader of the Democrats, who is a complete and total weasel. God, I mean, I am so appalled by this guy, so disgusted by this guy, telling people, well, you know, they had to change the leadership in Israel. Hey, I got an idea. Why don't you change your socks? Why don't you just go away? Who are you to tell the people of Israel who their leader should be? Now, I understand. I understand. Bibi Netanyahu, when he walks down the street, man, it's like brass. It's clanging. The sound that he makes as he walks down the street. Schmuck Schumer, you wonder, well, I don't know, he can go to either one of those restrooms, I suppose. Chuck Schumer is a slip and fall attorney. That's who he is. That's what he did. Now, he has been able to parlay that into this position as the leader of the Democrats in the Senate, but he's not an honorable, respectable guy. Never has been. Bibi Netanyahu is fighting for the survival of the Jewish people, and Chuck Schumer, who is, he's a Jew, right? Just like I'm a Jew. Except for Chuck Schumer, Judaism to him is all about this left-wing nonsense. Nothing to do with the actual faith, nothing to do with the actual religion. How dare he? All right, let's, Jeremy, I know you pulled some, it's a long piece. We'll play some of it just so you can hear it, and then we'll move on. All right, go ahead, Jerm.
I have known Prime Minister Netanyahu for a very long time. While we have vehemently disagreed on many occasions, I will always respect his extraordinary bravery for Israel on the battlefield as a younger man. I believe in his heart he has his highest priority is the security of Israel. However, I also believe Prime Minister Netanyahu has lost his way by allowing his political survival to take the precedence over the best interests of Israel. He has put himself in coalition with far-right extremists like Ministers Smotrich and Ben-Gvir, and as a result, he has been too willing to tolerate the civilian toll in Gaza, which is pushing support for Israel worldwide to historic lows. Israel cannot survive if it becomes a pariah. As a lifelong supporter of Israel, it has become clear to me the Netanyahu coalition no longer fits the needs of Israel after October 7th. The world has changed radically since then, and the Israeli people are being stifled right now by a governing vision that is stuck in the past.
Nonsense. Turn them off. At I don't want to hear any more critical of this crap. You don't have to listen to this. Let me explain something. Bibi Netanyahu is a tough guy, and you, Chuck Schumer, you are a slip-and-fall attorney from Brooklyn. You couldn't carry that man's jockstrap. And you want to lecture all of it? Well, the world has changed. You're damn right the world has changed. It has become acceptable for Jews to be targeted around the world. It has become acceptable to say, well, you know, sure. It was only 1,300 people killed. Really? That's just acceptable? It's a rounding error? How dare you? How dare you? And just for the record, so you know, Bibi Netanyahu, after October the 7th, did not somehow radically change his governing coalition. Well, he did do one thing. He decided to have a wartime government. And you know what he did with that?
Well, according to Schumer there, he got all these right-wing guys in there.
No. What Bibi Netanyahu did was to say to the leader of the opposition, this is a fight that we, the Israeli people, the Jewish people, are in, and we cannot be divided along political lines. Bibi Netanyahu, who is now the longest-serving prime minister in the history of the modern state of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, who commands a majority in the Knesset, which is unbelievable. Bibi Netanyahu reached out to the leader of the opposition, Benny Gantz, and said, come be part of the government that is going to run the nation because we are at war. So what Chuck Schumer just said there is a flat-out lie, and it's easily provable. And it is appalling. It is absolutely appalling. In Yiddish, we would call it a shanda. It is disgusting and vile and awful what he just did. And I have to just remind everybody, because you may not know, there's no two-state solution coming. You know why? Because one of the groups of people that are allegedly mentioned for the state don't want a state. These are the people shouting from the river to the sea. They don't want to live peacefully next to Israel. They want to destroy Israel. Shame on Chuck Schumer. What an absolutely disgusting series of comments. Good Lord, that's awful. Just awful. All right. Let me share one other thing. You know, Jonathan Turley is a professor of law at, where is he, George Washington? Or no, Georgetown, I think, Georgetown. And he's a brilliant guy. He does some amazing analysis on legal issues. And because he's not part and parcel of the uber leftists, the left-wing wackos that control so much of academia, he doesn't get invited to all the cool parties anymore. You know, sort of like Alan Dershowitz. Give me cut number one, please.
Jonathan, what's your take and the ultimate decision not to move forward by this special counsel?
Well, there was a bizarre disconnect after you listened to her. He laid out evidence that was remarkably compelling. It was like playing the game of Clue and having all the murder weapon, location, the suspect, but Colonel Mustard just couldn't remember how he got there. And, you know, and he basically said, I just can't prosecute on this basis. He talked about how Biden told someone that he found classified documents in his basement, read from some of those documents to a third party, how evidence was destroyed by this ghost writer in terms of an audio tape, how the White House intervened to try to get facts removed, to frame the report, and a series of contradictions of not just what Joe Biden has said in the past, but what he said after the interview. And so you're left there thinking, wow, this is as good a case as I could imagine. And Heard just said, look, I just don't think, given his diminished mental faculties, that we could guarantee or have a certainty or a likelihood of conviction. Now, one can accept that because I got to tell you, Heard came off as incredibly credible and professional. The problem is the other disconnect with the Trump case. I can't see how you could decline these charges and yet go forward on the classified documents charges against Trump. And of course, you have two different special counsels. But that contrast is more glaring today than it has ever been.
Wow. Now, that's a brilliant analysis. And I do love comparing it to Clue. You know, Colonel Mustard did the crime, and he's got it in his hand. He just doesn't know how he got to that room. But Turley is brilliant there, and he raises the question that Joe Moreno raised. All of these great legal minds, Alan Dershowitz, raised the same question. Hey, are we going to have any degree of consistency here? If you're going to charge the former president of the United States, who, by the way, has every right in the world to have whatever classified piece of paper he wants while he's president, and he can make them non-classified, unclassified, declassified, classified pages, whatever he wants to do, he can do. But you're going to charge him. But Joe Biden, who's a half a step above Sandy Berger's stuffing stuff into his socks, we're not going to charge him simply because, well, he's so demented, delusional, out of it. Okay, well, I mean, it is what it is, I suppose. But that's a great question. How do you charge one and not the other? If you're going to charge anybody, it's Biden who did this. But Robert Hur makes very clear, look, he's forgetful. His mind doesn't work properly. He comes across as... I don't know if he said friendly, but just, you know, he's like an old guy, like your typical, stereotypical old guy. Look, I told you yesterday, you wouldn't hire him in certain jobs. Now, you would, let's say you had the coffee shop. Remember this, your fictional coffee shop? You open your coffee shop and you say, okay, well, I need somebody who's going to be responsible for the money. You don't want Joe Biden doing that. We need somebody who's going to handle these hot liquids. You don't want him doing that. Hey, we need somebody at the front to just sort of have a smile on his face and babble a little bit. Yeah, well, he's your guy. Everybody will come in. He's not going to know who they are or what they are. He'll just tell the same stupid story over and over, meander through it, have absolutely no point. But he's going to do it really in, it seems like, most of the time, a friendly fashion. Now, with Alzheimer's comes these moments where people just scream and holler and get nasty. Sometimes they whisper. Any of this sound familiar to you? But, I mean, for the most part, he'd be good at the front of your fictional coffee shop. But again, you wouldn't trust him with the cash drawer. You wouldn't trust him with the hot liquids. But somehow it's okay for him to have his finger right there on that big nuclear button. All right, I am going to either ruin your day or make your day as we introduce the Bud Light anthem for 2024. Dylan Mulvaney is now entering the musical arena. We'll share some of that in just a moment. Don't forget, tomorrow morning, John Reed, I was going to say he's going to be here at 6 a.m., but he's not. He just said he's, where's he going? The homestead, right? He's going to be sitting in some of those hot springs. That'll be cool. So tomorrow morning at 6, please make sure that you are tuning in, listening to my friend John Reed. And you should go to WRBA.com because a lot of good stuff there. What is missing? You're right. Tickets for Politics and Pints presented by Chronic Care of Richmond. Those are all sold out. 445, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
Emergency, calling women.
All right. Now my eyes are just about beginning to bleed. That is Dylan Mulvaney. Most famous, of course, for tanking, Anheuser-Busch with that Bud Light nonsense. Well, now he's done a song called The Days of Girlhood. I don't know if you picked up on one of the lyrics there. Girls like him, women like him who missed the pregame, you know, when they were actually girls growing up because they're guys and they've always been guys and I don't know how you tell him, but you're always going to be a guy. I mean, you knock yourself out, dude. He's got costumes. He's got music. I don't think he's a terrible singer. How much of it is auto-tune, do you think? There's got to be some processing that goes into that. I don't think that's all him, but yeah. So if you want to see it, I'm putting it up. I am absolutely positively putting it up. Check it out at The Jeff Catchow over on Facebook, The Jeff Catchow over on Facebook. While you're online, remember, we have a lot of people, and that's where I am right now. I just wanted to thank everybody who has helped out with Politics and Pints. It's sold out. It is sold out. I wouldn't say I'm sorry. I mean, I'm really very happy that it's sold out. It's going to be a great event, and I really am looking forward to seeing as many people are turning out. It's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, but none of it would be possible. None of it would be possible without the folks who sponsor it and do all the good stuff. Our friends at Chronic Care of Richmond present the entire thing. You've got Richmond Office Interiors, my buddies Cole and the gang taking care of all of the set, you know, the chairs, the desks, the whole bit. So thanks to Chronic Care of Richmond, Richmond Office Interiors, Better Floors. Oh my gosh, I love Better Floors. We've got Better Floors. They are providing our brand new red carpet at Politics and Pints. You have Coletti and you've got DLA Promotions. They, as I understand, I haven't seen one yet, but they have made very special tumblers. You like those great wine things? You probably have seen them at the Altria. They've had them there for a long time. And there you go. So I am really looking forward to seeing everybody there. I hope that you will have a good time. And thanks again to all those great folks who have made this possible. We just could not have done it without them. Now, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, there's a lot that we're going to have to analyze. And there's a lot of stuff going on that you and I need to be aware of. And I mean some pretty serious stuff, including the attacks on Lake and Riley. Can you imagine that? Attacks on a woman who was murdered. Well, that's what they're doing over at MSNBC. And they're not giving up, by the way. They're not giving up on attacking former President Trump. They're not giving up on attacking Special Counsel Robert Hur. It's outrageous. And meanwhile, closer to home, as Governor Youngkin told us when he called us earlier today, the Virginia Democrats in the Senate will not cooperate in any way to get a budget passed. It is shameful. We'll tackle all of it in the 5 o'clock hour. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., my buddy John Reed is going to be on the air. He's going to be out at the hot springs, one of those hot tubs. Good for him. I'll be tuning in. Sounds very, very invigorating. It is 4:56, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. We're almost there. We're almost there. My goodness. St. Patrick's Day is coming up. We have a lot of great stuff that we are dealing with. Make no mistake about that. And the weather. Goodness gracious. I don't mean to just go on and on about the weather, but I love this weather. I hate the trees. And thankfully, there's so many people smarter than I am getting it on our Chronic Care of Richmond text line, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140, who know all about the trees. You know the ones I'm talking about. They're beautiful. Oh, my gosh, they look great. These white, I guess they're flowers or leaves or squirrels. I don't know, whatever they are up there on the branches. They're all white. They're beautiful. They stink, and I have found out through my time here in Central Virginia, the capital of allergies, that I am, in fact, allergic to them. My buddy, Dr. Bob Quarles, you know Dr. Bob, he's my doctor. Threshold Medical down in Midlothian. Great, great guy. Amazing practice. Just thought I'd mention that. But he's got those Bradford pear trees, too, at his place. And the same thing. They give him a headache. They make his eyes run. And here's the worst part about Bradford pear trees. There are no pears. I mean, they stink. They make your eyes water. They're beautiful, but they're lying to you, man. I'm telling you, it's like the tree lobbyists. Oh, they're for real. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Stinking tree lobby. Bradford pears. Not a pear on them. 804 says, Jeff, those are Bradford pear trees. I hate them. Berkeley and Mechanicsville. Yep, Jeff, Bradford pear trees. And yes, they do stink. Berkeley, by the way, has like a tagline on his text. Truth, logic, and common sense. Boy, that is a good one. Absolutely. I love that. A couple of folks getting in on Schmuck Schumer. A lot of them I can't repeat. Suffice to say, he is not particularly very happy, very popular. And I have to give a piece of advice. I don't know who it is, but someone has decided they are going to text. And I think they might be intoxicated. I don't know. But, man, it's just all, and it's a lot, and it's, you may want to dial that back a little bit. And I do have a great message here that I do want to share, because it's just so beautiful. Michael, 757, Michael says, Jeff, I was very impressed with your discussion concerning Julia and the All-Stars, the basketball team for special needs kids. Recognize the truly important and unforgettable moments in our lives is so often dominated by other events through the years. You, my friend, as so often see what is truly inspiring and to always be remembered. Michael, thank you, Michael. I appreciate that. Look, it was just one of those moments. Honest to God, they're, you get them, right? Everybody has a moment like this. You might have a couple. You meet somebody, you talk with somebody, oh my God, what an experience, I will never forget that. I've got a lot of those. I'm really fortunate that way, I really am. First time that I had the chance to chat with Bobby Heenan. Maybe you know him, maybe you don't, that's okay. If you know him, then you're going, wow, that's pretty cool. If you don't know him, you're saying, eh, whatever. But Bobby became a dear friend over the years, love Bobby. And the first time I chatted with him, I oh my God, it's Bobby Heenan. Bruno Sammartino on my show. That was nice. A lot of folks from the wrestling world. George Steele, Jim Cornette. I became buddies with. I mean, Jim Cornette is crazy politically, but he's a good friend. And you think about some other things, right? I mean, you think about family moments. Some really impressive family moments. You know what one of them was for me? It's going to sound weird. It was when I told my dad that I was going to be hanging out with Killer Kowalski, Walter Kowalski. Oh, my dad was like, oh, my God. I watched him because my dad watched Killer Kowalski in the 60s, and then he would take me to the Philadelphia Arena like in the 70s, and we would see Killer Kowalski. And then Walter became a friend, a trainer. I mean, it was amazing. I got photos of me with Walter in these Japanese wrestling magazines, which is so cool. And you remember those moments, right? And sometimes you remember moments that are really bad. And I can remember when we first became aware that Julia was not developing the way she was supposed to develop. And let me tell you something, that's a punch in the gut. And you don't know what you're going to do. You have no idea. You have no idea. And you got, at least for us, we had friends, we had family, going, oh, it's okay. You know, she's developing in her own way. She's going to do it on her own time. It's like, that's just not true. It's just not true. I mean, it's nice of you to say, and I kind of appreciate I appreciated the effort, but it's like, yeah, that's, you're going to leave, and this is still going to be exactly the same situation. So you remember those things. So earlier today, we've got this a meeting to discuss meetings. I'm telling you, my mind is blown at the number of meetings that people have to discuss meetings and plan meetings and review meetings. And you're in the same situation, right? Well, whatever your business is, I mean, this is just nuts. But anyway, so we're having one, and thank God it wasn't in person. Because if it were in person, I have to say I can't go. I wouldn't be able to go. Because there is a hierarchy as far as I'm concerned. And my family's at the top of that hierarchy. Professional things come second. That doesn't mean that I don't care about them, but it does mean if I have to be someplace for my family, for my special needs daughter, or sitting in a meeting, yeah, I'm going to be with Julia. So I was there at her basketball game at Hanover High School, and thank God it was one of these Zoom meetings. But the Wi-Fi was not exactly top rate. And so, like, my face couldn't show up there. I tried that, and it didn't work. Just black screen. But that was fine. I mean, I could still hear what was going on. I was participating on chat. But I swear to you, about, was it 15, 16 minutes into it, there's this whole discussion on autographs. And I thought, oh, my God. Oh, like my hand's going to explode. But I'll never forget it. Because at the same time, Julia had the basketball. Now, Julia can't hold on to it. She won't hold on. She doesn't really know she's supposed to put it in the basket. But here's the thing. The typical kids who help out the special needs kids, Julia's like the secret weapon, number 44. Because when Julia comes out, they know she can't really handle the basketball. And you, when Julia is out there playing, they bring out a special basket really, really low. And then the typical kids that are helping her can put the ball in there really easily. So you know what it means? Julia is a guaranteed 2 points every time she hits the hardwood. Let me tell you something. That will stay with you. It'll stay with me. And it was just this contrast. Good or bad. I mean, I'm not ascribing anything evil or bad or that. It was just one of those things. Oh my gosh. Here's a moment you're always going to remember this distinction, aren't you? Well, anyway, there's a lot going on besides that. We got to deal with that. And I only bring it up. I mentioned it earlier. Then a number of people are hitting me up on Facebook. Oh my, is that true? Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Now, I would also be remiss if I didn't mention to you Style Weekly. Now, Style Weekly for a long time was, I thought, a pretty good alternative publication. There's nobody that's going to confuse them with National Review. I understand. But I always picked it up. You know, anytime I went to Wawa, I'd pick up that. I'd pick up Richmond Family Magazine. I'd pick up Natural Awakenings. The Henrico Citizen, when they used to be a printed publication. I would always get them. So Style Weekly, unfortunately, kind of closed down. And then somebody purchased the library and the name. Long story short, they are apparently, once again, doing a printed edition. I haven't seen it yet on the stands anywhere where I've been. I haven't seen it at Food Lion. I haven't seen it at any of the Wawas. But hopefully, you know, it'll be out there. You'll be able to get it. And they are doing a best radio show contest. Now, I think you know the way this works, right? Heidi and I love John Reed. And we really do. We think of him as part of our family. He's just a super, super sweet guy. But John loves these things like nobody's business. Oh, my God. And John always says, oh, you know, Jeff and I are competing. And Heidi always says to me, does he know you're not really competing with him? Does he know that you don't really, you know, frankly, care about that? I said, I've tried to tell him. I don't think he believes it. But all of that being said, if you would go to styleweekly.com, there is a contest going on there, Best of Richmond 2024. Now, you have three options. John, me, and Sam Newsman, who has been the most trusted media puppet for years, reporting since Roswell. And would I be a jerk if I voted for Sam, if I voted for the puppet? I don't know. I mean, look, puppets are people too, sort of, kind of. So if you do go to styleweekly.com, you make your own choice. If you vote for me, fantastic. I will appreciate it. If you choose to vote for Sam, that's okay too. Whichever way you want to go. See, I'm looking at it. I've already decided we're all winners, right? John can honestly say that he was selected as the best morning show. I can honestly say I was selected as the best afternoon show. And Sam Newsman can say he was selected as the best weekend radio show. Pretty cool. I don't know. But check it out, would you? Styleweekly.com. I do have the direct links up on social media, Facebook and X. Remember, on X, it's Jeff Katz Show. On Facebook, it is The Jeff Katz Show. We are sold out on Politics and Pints. I am sorry about that, but I'm not sorry about it. I'm really very happy, very proud of that. Another sellout. I think they've all been sellouts. Maybe not the first one. That was down like in the bottom. But anyway, I think they've all been sellouts. So we've got another sellout, the historic Beacon Theater in Hopewell. It's going to be a great time. It's me, it's John Reed, it's Howard Gutman, Gary Hess, Brian Kilmeade's going to be there. I don't know if he's there for the whole thing or part, whatever it is. I mean, we're all going to be there. We're all going to have a great time. So the next time that we do one of these, and we do them every couple of months, I would again remind you, and I will have to remind you every 7.5 minutes by regulation and law, but I will remind you then that you got to get your tickets quickly because it will sell out, because it always sells out. So thanks so much. I got a whole list of people I'd like to thank. We'll do that in a couple of moments. I don't think we need to subject anybody to more Dylan Mulvaney, but if you do want to take a look at it, what is it called? Days of Girlhood, I think. He's a grown guy who says he's a girl, and now he's got a video out. And I didn't notice any Bud Light in there, but, you know, I didn't look that closely in all candor. 5:15, Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA.
These are the days. These are the days. These are the days of girlhood. These are the days. These are the days. These are
I blame the puppet. I blame Sam. By the way, Sam Newsman is entered, apparently, as a finalist, not just for Best Radio Show, but Best Reggae Band. Who knew? Yeah, Sam. Yeah. All right. I'm going to give you a warning here. This comes from MSNBC, and I, of course, I apologize for that, but I do remind you, you owe me. I watch MSNBC so that you don't have to. No. Seriously, it's okay. It's all right. Cut number two.
Let me ask you another question, because we know that one of the ways that Donald Trump and Republicans are hoping to demagogue their way back into, you know, control of the White House and to hold on to control of the Senate, I mean, control of the House and gain control of the Senate, is the immigration issue. And they've been truly demagoguing an issue of a Georgia young woman who was killed, a Georgia young nursing student named Laken Riley. They've now passed a law called the Laken Riley Act. All Republican members and 37 Democrats voted in the House to support the bill. The legislation requires the detention of any migrant who's been accused of burglary or theft. My understanding is that burglary and theft are already illegal. What does this law add to the current existing law? Is it just a messaging bill? Does it do anything or change anything? I will note for our audience that overall crime is down this year across this country. And migrant crime is negligible. Crime by migrants is negligible. What does this law do? Does it do anything?
Well, yeah, it does, actually, ma'am. What it does is it says that those people who have committed crimes are going to be treated like criminals. And I know you don't like to use the term illegal or criminal. For some reason, that boggles my mind. But this is all about saying to people who have already committed the crime of breaking into the United States of America that there's yet another way that we can keep you from hurting Americans. Now, I don't know why the left doesn't care. Well, you know what I do? I know why the left doesn't care about Americans, because they got a whole different agenda here. This is why 6 million illegal aliens have been led into the United States and are somewhere in the interior of the United States as a direct result of Joe Biden and Mayorkas and the whole gang down there. Why? Because they are remaking America in terms of voters, right? If you have 6 million people that you can spread around the country and you're saying, hey, you got to follow us. All you have to do is vote for us, right? That's how they've done this for years. Hey, all you have to do is give us your vote. We don't care whatever you do. Just give us your vote. Give us your vote. Give us your vote. 6 million people registered to vote, voting in places that perhaps need more left-wing support because there's a conservative base. That's how these folks are being treated, and that's wrong. Gang, we have so many good, honest people who have followed the rules, played by the rules. They know what the system is. And there's no question, the system is difficult to navigate at times. But there's a reason that we have rules. There's a reason that as a nation, we must have a clearly defined border. We have to. Because the moment you don't have a clearly defined border, you know what happens? You don't have a nation anymore. I don't know about you, I love the United States. And I want to take care of the United States. And I really wish it were possible for people to stop claiming that illegal aliens are exactly the same as folks who have come to the nation legally. Because they're not. Dr. Keith Ablo is going to be with us at 5:33. Don't you dare miss it. It is 5:26. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRBA. Thirty-three.
Jeff Gads, News Radio WRVA. It is Friday Eve. That's what we'd like to call it. I mean, Thursday just sounds so harsh. Friday Eve, my goodness. I am thinking, wow, we got something coming our way, right? I mean, it's really pretty, pretty cool when we think in that way. And it really is all about thinking in the right way. I want to take a moment before we chat with Dr. Keith Abloh, and I love Dr. Abloh and chatting with him, but I have to say thank you to a couple of people, if that's all right. You know, we got Politics and Pints coming up on Wednesday. Yeah, it's Wednesday. It's the 20th. My gosh, it's coming up less than a week. We have sold out the historic Beacon Theater in Hopewell. It's going to be a great time. It's me, it's John Reed, it's Howard Gutman, it's Gary Hess. And this year we got Brian Kilmeade, who's going to be with us. Just fantastic, you know, from Fox and Friends. But none of it is possible without the folks who support it, who sponsor it, who bring it to you. So I just wanted to say very quickly here, thank you to my friends at Chronic Care of Richmond, Dr. Brian Snyder and the team, just great people. Richmond Office Interiors, Cole and his crew, Better Floors, you know, it's a whole family there. I love them, work with them all the time. DLA Promotions, they can put your logo on anything. They're doing the tumblers for our VIPs this year. Colette is going to be there, and StoryCorps. So thank you to everybody for helping us to bring another sold-out version of Politics and Pints to Central Virginia. Now, I got news for you. We had Governor Wilder as a special guest last time, Brian Kilmeade this time. I think we need to get Dr. Keith Abloh lined up to be a special guest. He would be phenomenal. Keith, would you be? You'd be up for something like that, wouldn't you? Keith? Oh, Keith says he got disconnected. All right, he just texted me. Germ, call him back. Call him back. He got disconnected. All right. Well, now we can hear that on the air. All right. All right, we can't hear that on the air now. Okay, but we're going to get Dr. Keith back on in justice. I thought, oh my gosh. I said, would you come down for something like this? And I just thought, oh my, he doesn't want to come. You know, he wouldn't know, but I know Keith. He's there. I wanted to talk a little bit more with him about the whole Tucker Carlson thing from last week, because a lot of people who know Keith from this show.
You got it.
There we go. Ah, there he is. Perfect, perfect. There's that voice. I love it. I was just saying, Keith, I got scared that I invited you to come maybe for Politics and Pints, and I thought, I don't want any part of that, but that's not you.
Got it.
All right. Hey, I have been inundated this past week, Keith, with people who had said, I love hearing Dr. Abloh on your show, but I had never seen him, or I think I saw him in the past, maybe on Fox. I went and I watched the Tucker Carlson show, and oh my God, you got a whole new legion of people who are, well, discovering Dr. Keith Abloh for the first time.
I love hearing that, and I love that we've been talking now for months,
yeah,
months and months, and this is home base, man. But the Tucker Carlson interview was fun because he makes it easy, as you do, to speak your mind. And, you know, speaking your mind reminds you that you're present and that you have a core self, and that is all to the good. There are very few things better than that, being listened to and heard and able to say what you really think. Damn the torpedoes. Full steam ahead.
Well, I want you to talk a little bit about, because there were a lot of people with those sorts of questions, and here's my frame of reference. A couple of weeks back, President Donald Trump was on the show, and he was an absolute delight. I mean, I cannot tell you how much I enjoyed speaking with him. And at the end, he said, oh, you'll come backstage at the event and talk. And, you know, I didn't think that was true. And then they said, oh, yeah, he really wants you to come backstage. So when I met him, I had all these preconceived notions, right? I mean, a million news reports, what a
right.
terrible guy he is. He's this, he's that. I met him, and I'm going to tell you something, Keith. I loved chatting with him. I felt so comfortable with him. I mean, it really was talking to just one of your buddies. And people are curious to know, you have this experience with Tucker Carlson. You're talking here about it was easy. Did you find that he was, quote, a nice guy?
I always thought that at Fox. We were there together for years. I always resonated with the guy. You know, it wasn't like we were going out for lunch every day, but whenever I'd see him, we'd chat, and I thought, wow, what a genuine guy. Yeah. And I found it to be the case again when we sat down. He was very warm, very engaging. Beyond that, when I look back at it, you know, I like to think of myself as kind of a narrative thinker who has a sense of story. Mm-hmm. He's a master at it. Yeah. There were no accidents, right? Why is he going to Russia to interview Putin and the rest of it? Because he's a master at eliciting narrative. And his way of asking the questions, the way that he holds in his mind, as you do, by the way, the way that he and you hold in your minds, where's the conversation going? What else does this person kind of, I think, want to say? What's the rest of the story? Mm-hmm. And that's a special skill. That's a true sixth sense for narrative and interpersonal communication. Otherwise, you wouldn't, you know, be on the radio for so many years. What is it, 70 years now?
Yeah. Marconi actually invented the radio after my first show. It was really quite an accomplishment when you think about it, yeah.
Yes, it's been a long time.
Yeah, but so here's one of the things that comes across with Tucker Carlson. And again, it was noticed by my listeners and now your viewers. I hope you understand what a great piece of exposure it was for you. So many people who already liked you or didn't know, but they said, my gosh, one of the things that you can see with Tucker Carlson, it's clear as he's chatting, and one guy said, with your buddy Keith, but also with guys like Vladimir Putin. He seems to be very happy sitting in that chair asking those questions. There's a genuine nature about him that really does come through.
I think this sense of being genuine and because of that unafraid is very much present. One of the moments I really liked in the Putin interview is where he was sort of soliciting the release of the journalist that's being held there, who's being held there. Yep. And he said, you know, he started laughing to himself. He said, well, obviously he's not a spy.
Right.
Right? And you have to have presence and poise and be charming and warm and self-effacing to pull that off with a guy who, you know, might tell you you're not leaving the country because you've offended him. And you donated $15 once in your life to Ukraine, so you're going to jail like the rest of them.
That's right. That's right, yeah. Man. That was, I'm with you, Keith. I watched that and I thought, oh my God, you are either braver or dumber than any human being I have ever watched. And he was able to do it. He's getting answers. And this is, again, I just urge people, even now, that they need to go and watch your discussion with him. I'd like to think we touch on some pretty good stuff.
Thank you.
But man, he
we do.
He's a master. And listen, there were a number of people last week. You talked about how everything was taken. I mean, you wound up, you were back to being sort of Keith Ablo, not Keith Ablo from this or with this or that. But you have taken that, my friend, and you've not just inspired yourself, you're inspiring others. Tell people what your real mission is on this date, March the 14th, 2024.
My real mission on this date is, in every case possible, to return people to themselves, to give people self-possession, in the grandest possible way, to restore them to what was intended for them from all time. Yep. What is that? That's everything. That's your capacity to love yourself and other people. Yep. It's your capacity to connect with a supreme being. And connect with God, if that is something that moves you, and I hope it would for most people. Yes. It's your ability to express yourself. Again, like, why do we have these words, self? Everything has self in it. Why? Because it's so incredibly important, your ability to express yourself in whatever work you want to do, in your relationships with other people. Too many of us, so many of us, perhaps all of us, you know, we struggle to get things to be truthful.
Right.
What do you really feel about this person?
Yeah.
Who is really on your side? Who is really not?
Yeah.
And it's a, you know, the beautiful thing is, and, you know, you love dogs, too. That's why I mentioned, you know, one of the things to do to, as an antidote against being inhaled by technology and depersonalized is get a dog.
That's right. That's right.
Because your love for the dog and the dog's love for you is the truth.
Yeah.
There's, you can't fake it. You don't lie to the dog. The dog doesn't lie to you.
Right.
I want people to be able to become themselves and take some joy in it. And take the lumps, too, because when you express yourself and you share your opinions boldly, number one, it reinforces you. You are more present than ever when you say, listen, this is what I believe.
Yep.
And I'm not giving it up.
That's right. That's right.
That's the Trump thing. That's why, you know, he says to you, come backstage. He's not faking. He's not glad-handing. He likes you, obviously. Otherwise, he won't do it.
Yeah. It's
right? He doesn't have to do it. And that's why I think people are magnetized by him. There's something that they can tell is genuine. Well, nobody would come up with that as an act. Right? I mean, he's unusual.
Yeah.
You couldn't possibly invent it and carry it off.
No.
Right? And so I think people believe it. And when you're doing, not to turn the tables on you and play therapist, okay? But when you're interviewing people, you must get an internal sense that you're going to the core of things. Is that true? Like, when you feel that, do you feel it, like, in your gut?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a completely visceral experience. It's that, Keith, it is that entire BS detector that I developed from a couple of years being a cop. Like, I mean, I can tell you within about 30 seconds, if that, whether you're, you know, being straight with me or trying to play a game, and I don't forget it. And with President Trump, let me tell you something. Number one, I was thrilled to have him on the air. You know, it's a big get, the blah, 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 blah.
It's huge.
But I'm going to tell you something, Keith. It was like talking to someone that I knew. It was like talking to you, somebody who I know, far smarter than I am, far more successful. There's stuff for me to learn. And he could not have been nicer. He was charming. That's the word I would use. Absolutely charming.
Well, and when you're doing that, when you're doing it with me, when you're having anybody on your air and you're getting to the truth and the core about things, that is like having a divining rod in your hands,
yeah.
Finding water,
yeah.
Right? And there's an exhilaration in it. That's what I want. That's what I love to do.
Yeah.
I feel exhilarated, incredibly moved when I feel like we're headed there. You know, we just found an interest of yours you didn't even know you had, or
right.
We discovered a page or two or a chapter of your life story that really, man, you know, you never looked at this. And it's the key to a lot, and you can remake yourself a little bit.
Yeah.
And I get that same visceral feeling, like, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
We're on the road to the truth. We need to do it as individuals. We need mm-hmm. to do it as a country.
Yes.
And
yes, we do.
And we need, and it's not always just happy times, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when people come and they want their lives back, it can be painful,
yeah.
But it's the kind of pain that you'd say, well, you go to the gym, don't you?
Exactly.
And do you always leave? If you couldn't get very strong, if when you left you said, I don't know, I'm never doing that again, I kind of feel a little sore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Yeah, of
yeah.
course you feel a little sore. You're looking at your whole life,
yeah.
And you're reclaiming parts of it that maybe were not so comfortable to own.
Yes.
But when we don't own these parts of our life stories, we have to sustain the fiction
mm-hmm.
in predictable ways. We become
yeah.
workaholics or alcoholics
yeah.
or distracted by any number of fake relationships.
That's right.
When really the truth is everything,
yeah.
and it makes your life worthwhile, and then you don't fear death.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I'm on a roll here, but then you don't
yeah.
fear death as much because you're like, at least I've lived.
That's right.
My real life.
Oh.
The people who fear death the most fear it because they haven't been alive.
That's
not
right.
really.
That's
because
right.
they're living someone else's life.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
can't do that.
No. Oh, my gosh. All right. I know you're on a roll, and I'm out of time, but I'll tell you what. No, let's pick up right here.
I'm the only psychiatrist who doesn't let the client get a word in edgewise. It's amazing. People come here, they just sit, they listen, and I'm all right, you're done. Yeah.
I love it. Well, listen, you know that we love you, and I'm going to share again your visit with Tucker because I just want everybody to see you in action as well, and I'm looking forward to next Friday Eve. You'll be here. We'll chat about a whole bunch of great stuff. KeithAblow.com is the website. Go and check out Keith. He's got a million different things going on. I promise you I will give you the details. Keith, love you, brother. We will talk soon.
Love you too, Jeff. Thank you again.
Thank you, my friend. That is Dr. Keith Ablo. I'm going to get the link up for his visit with Tucker Carlson. He's just, I'm just telling you, one of the most positive human beings who has been through a huge amount of garbage and has come out. He's phenomenal. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Friday Eve. I know we've been behind the whole day. That is entirely on me, not on Jeremy. Jeremy has done everything and then some. But I do want to tell you that we get a lot of great stuff coming up tomorrow. It's all going to start, at 6 a.m. with my friend John Reed. He's going to be on the road, right? He goes out of town on Fridays and does interesting stuff. And tomorrow's going to be one of the, I think he said something about hot springs, right? So I'll be tuning in at 6. Make sure that you are here to listen to John. If you are inclined to go to the styleweekly.com page and vote for the best radio show, you can vote for me. I'd be very happy to accept that or, you know, whatever you got to do. I'm okay. I'll live either way, not to worry about it. What else have we got? We're sold out of politics. Some pints. It's a beautiful evening. Go out on your Architect deck and enjoy it a little bit. Have a fantastic evening. God willing, you and I get the chance to do this all over again tomorrow, starting at 3. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
Adios and via con Dios. Going home now to stay.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.